Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
This past Sunday, our 8-year-old received his first Holy Communion. Husband cried and I cried, and there were a lot of hugs and tears and smiles. It was just a beautiful, beautiful day. This was really interesting because as we watched him, he was sitting at a distance with the other kids who were receiving their first Holy Communion, I just realized how different his childhood is different than mine and my husband's. So you must be a little familiar with my messed up childhood. So was my husband's, in a different way, on the other side of the world, but still similarly unhappy, similar problems, broken families, you know, sin is sin everywhere. And then as I looked at my son, I thought, this is how things should be. He's 8 years old, surrounded by people who loves him. And his mom and dad just love him so much that they will cry tears of joy when he receives the Eucharist for the first time. He has siblings who love him and who tickle him, who want to wrestle with him, who want to color on his homework. It's just such a messy, loud, and beautiful life. And that's how it should be. And I thought about how my life was when I was 8 and after, and how my husband's life was when he was 8 and after. It was just mostly darkness. It's mostly grays and blacks, a little bit of light in it. It's funny, my husband has been on this like Metallica kick. So he is kind of pulling out all these old Metallica songs and we're listening. And as it happened, because the album, which was released in 1991, I think, made it to Turkey a bit later. So we kind of listened at the same stage of our lives because he's a little bit older than me. And it was this like silly songs are these like glimmers of lights in our life. So we kind of reminisce about the songs. But those are the good things. But that's not how it should be. We should be able to reminisce about our families and the, you know, how our moms or dads got mad at silly things and how much chocolate was consumed during Easter and how so-and-so mass was so long. And, you know, it's just we should remember good things about our childhood. And it was so wonderful to see that our son, Lord willing, will remember these good days. Remember that his father took him to his first confession. And remember that there was a St. Benedict medal and a rosary and a giant chocolate cake with a chocolate cross on top for his first Holy Communion. Silly memories, but beautiful memories. And that is how we should grow up. So, seeing that, thinking about babies and thinking about how they're the best thing I've done with my life made me decide to talk about online dating. Welcome to Live a Little, episode 10. Okay, so since I was an atheist for for most of my life. I never thought about getting married because obviously marriage is a social construct, which is a word we even used back then in Turkey. I mean, it just goes everywhere. Anyway, so I would never wanted to get married. I had boyfriends and, you know, very sinful lifestyle. But I would never even consider thinking that marriage was something important. It was to me like, okay, you just sign a paper and then you're married and you have some legal rights or whatever. And children definitely did not even register. Anyway, so fast forward, when I became Christian, this my understanding of marriage really changed. But also what I wanted from a potential spouse also changed, as you can imagine. So it was a little bit easier to come to this conclusion maybe in Turkey. Because my conversion was such a radical experience, I realized that it would be so very hard to share my life with someone who did not have the same convictions. I made a mistake of dating someone for a couple of months who was not a Christian, but that kind of was very fleeting and it went away. Because the entire time I realized that he was tolerating my being Christian, and I just realized, like, how long can we sustain this? So as the years passed and then I became more and more serious in my faith, I realized that I wanted to marry somebody Christian. And after I became Catholic, again, this understanding didn't come really fast because it takes time to mature in one's faith. And then it took a while for me to mature in that faith. And then I, of course, eventually came to the conclusion that I should, if I would, I should get married to a Catholic. So again, still we're in Turkey and I'm not sure whether I'm called to marriage or not. But obviously I'm not thinking about religious life because I don't even know how that would even work in Turkey. Life was even too crazy to think about that. So one of the things, I think this is, this part is a little bit girly, so hang in there. This is something that ladies can do for themselves. Since I didn't know what the Lord had planned for me, I kind of stopped constantly entertaining this idea of a perfect marriage or a perfect courting relationship. I just stopped fantasizing about it. I just focused on what the Lord put in front of me. And back then it was my studies, and I was involved in different ministries. So that's what I wanted to mostly focus on. And I didn't try to constantly fantasize about this something that may or may not happen in the future. And like during this period, you know, I had crushes on different guys or whatever, but I did not let my mind and my heart wander too far away, even though these guys were Christians. Okay, so kind of I tried to bridle my imagination. I think we ladies go crazy about that. Like one of the things, I just stopped watching chick flicks, which is funny. It had a really funny impact on my marriage after years because I didn't watch any chick flicks for like years and years and years. I completely lost my taste in them. My wonderful husband happened to love romance movies, and now after all these years, I'm the one who's rolling her eyes when we watch these things and my husband get all mushy and squishy. I love you, hubby, so much. So anyway, so that's one of the things I did, and it was really helpful because it kind of gave me a little more realistic perspective on marriage and what I can potentially expect. And I kind of tried best to be patient with the Lord's time. I ended up in England to get my PhD. And this was very interesting. Right before, the year before I moved to England, I was traveling with a friend who was a professor. So she was older than me, a professor with a PhD. She was still single. She was Christian. And we were in the north of Turkey in this hotel room, you know, drinking hot chocolate in the middle of the night and talking about the meaning of life. And when she found out I was going to go to get my PhD, so that I could become a professor in Turkey. That was my idea. She told me that, okay, you understand that once you get your PhD, it will be very hard to find a husband. So you need to make the decision to go one way or another. And just you need to realize that this would cost you your marriage. And of course, these were really wise words. And in a way, it's coming from her own experience. She's not Catholic. And she's been just such a wonderful and wise friend for me all these years. And I kind of tucked that behind my ear just to remember. So anyway, that trip ended. I moved to England. And then as the time passed, I kind of became a little disillusioned with academia and academic work. And I found it very unfulfilling. And I found the academic work a little, I don't know how to say this. I don't want to say shallow, but I found it very unsatisfying. So anyway, I got confirmed in England, and I realized that the Lord didn't call me to religious life. And in England, I had some time to actually seriously consider this. Anyway, so I realized that the Lord didn't call me to religious life. And I realized that I was getting old. I was not getting old. Looking back, I'm old now, but I wasn't old back then. So I was about, I was almost 29. I was 29. Yeah, I was 29. So I wasn't old, but I realized that the years were passing, and I kept remembering what this friend of mine said, that like once you get your PhD, it's going to be hard. And I'm thinking, I can't even find, I live in England, like you can't even find decent, devout Catholic men. And how is it going to be once I go back to Turkey with a PhD as a professor? It's going to be almost impossible. And a few friends of mine, they actually got married using eHarmony. And they've been really happy, no problems. And I kept hearing all these stories, and they kept asking me, just give it a try, give it a try. Of course, I didn't want to try eHarmony. Because I really wanted to marry somebody Catholic, because by then my faith had deepened enough that I couldn't even imagine. I would rather not get married and live a single life than get married to someone who was even like nominally Catholic. I wanted my husband to be as convicted as I was about the faith, because that's the most important thing in my life. So anyway, I was like, okay, talking to the Lord, and I was really, really poor. So I told the Lord, I can afford 3 months of subscription to Catholic Match. I don't think even it's that much. I think for 3 months subscription, it's either $60 or $30. I need to look up. So it wasn't even that much, but I was really, really dirt poor. So I said, okay, this is how much I can offer. And if you want me to try this out, I am willing to try it out, even though it's really, really, really weird. But I don't have anything to lose, right? Like, other than $30 or $60. So I prayed, and I did this online thing, and I put my parameters, and I wanted to make sure that it's just stayed within Europe, and didn't go too far. And I kind of put it up there, and I just waited, you know, okay, whatever, you kind of wait now. Okay, before I get to how I met my wonderful husband after this. So for single people, I want to encourage you before you get to this stage. If you're in college, please open your eyes, look around, and find a faithful spouse. I was in Notre Dame, I think about a month ago. The students took me out to dinner, and it's just this table full of wonderfully devout Catholic young men and women. And I told them, find somebody now, look around, don't be picky, don't I'm so sorry. The pollens are killing me. Spring is not my friend. Don't friend zone people. You cannot be too picky. People are not going to be perfect. You're never going to find the perfect person. I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to tell you a secret. You are not perfect yourself, and you will never be perfect, and you do not have a soulmate. I married to my husband, and he married to me, but I think he would have been happy if he married to somebody else. Because at the end of the day, it's not our perfection. You know, obviously we're a compatible couple, but it's not like I was only destined to be with him. And I would have wandered the earth aimlessly had I not found him, or the same thing with him. So just be a little realistic. Just, you know, make your list. What's the most important thing for you? And if you're Catholic, that's what it should be. Look for a devout Catholic person who is striving to be holy. That's the most important thing. This is a person who is willing to make sacrifices for you. Tiny little sacrifices. You would not believe how much my husband has changed since we got married, just so that he can make me happy. He still does not like Turkish food, though. But it's okay. I don't like cooking anyway. So it's that worked out great. But if you find a person whose first priority is to become holy and please the Lord, he or she will see you through those eyes. So you need to first and foremost make sure where these people are in their faith. And this is not for online dating. I'm hoping it never gets there. I'm hoping that if you're in college, if you're around other Catholics, you will be smart and wise enough to take the step and go find somebody. Go out for coffee. It doesn't mean you will get married. Go out for coffee. Keep it low-key. Just go out for coffee and see if you guys can carry a conversation. That's it. Make it simple. If coffee thing works, maybe go out for a muffin. If that works, then go out for dinner. It doesn't have to start really big. It doesn't have to be a sign from the Lord or whatever. You know, just be realistic. The Lord blessed us with brains. Let's use them. If you're a guy, please, please don't be so shy and ask the ladies out for something simple and keep it on the low. And just make sure that she knows your intentions. If you're a girl, please show some signs that you're interested and make this happen. I know it's hard. I know it's awkward. But I'm going to tell you, after college, it gets harder and more awkward. So do it now before it's too late. You know what? If you're somebody who is older and wiser, and who have been through this torturous time of courting and dating, then maybe you can talk to people who are younger around you. And you know what's the joy of being old in your 30s and married is matchmaking. My husband is so much better. I feel very, very awkward. But if you see two young people who could be interested in each other, please invite them over for a dinner and just see if it works or not without making a big deal. Okay, moving on. So I sign up for Catholic Match and I fill out all the things. One of the best things this website did, I don't know if they do it now, but they had all these, like, I think there were 10 questions about, okay, I agree with the church's teaching on contraception. Yes or no? Yes. I agree with church's teaching. So all these, like, church's teachings on everything, premarital sex, all that stuff. So, like, and you can filter people out. If people said no, then you don't have to, like, you don't get contacted with them. So anyway, I kind of set my perimeters or whatever. You can set, okay, I don't want anybody who's further than this much. So I'm like, okay, if this person is in Europe, Turkey, England, we can meet and travel. That's not a bad distance. So I didn't even include America in my search parameters. But as it happened, there are all these private forums that people discuss things, whatever is happening. And my husband, he saw my picture there and he really liked my picture. And he decided to send me a very simple message. Okay, so First of all, if you're online dating, get a good picture, because that's how it is. That's how we function. It's not being shallow. We want to like the person. We want to physically be physically attracted to the people. To the person. I mean, he's staring, I'm not staring at my own face, he's staring at my face for the rest of his life. Of course, it's understandable that we want to be attracted to people. So get a nice profile picture and fill out the profile, take your time, but don't obsess over it, and try to get a give a general feeling about your personality other than, oh, I am completely obsessed with this one book or whatever, right? Because the person, when they read your profile, need to get a good sense of who you are in general rather than this like particular taste. Like my husband and I, we have completely different tastes in music. That's mostly because I have no taste in music and I basically listen to whatever he tells me to. But like, he loves listening to all these different kinds of music, and most of the time I enjoy quiet. Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all in marriage. We have a wonderful marriage, right? So these are, so don't get bogged down to little details. So anyway, hubby sees my picture and he sent me, which was wonderful because that's who he is. He sent me this really kind of whimsical, nice little note. He said, maybe we can go out for fish and chips in the middle of the ocean, because he was in America and I was in England. And I thought that was really cute and little, you know, short. And it wasn't weird or awkward. Please, guys, don't be weird and awkward. Be confident. And that's how we started talking. That was it. That was very simple. See, I didn't know. And he will come and talk about this, hubby. Maybe. I'm thinking maybe for the next episode, he can come and share his own experiences with online dating. Because he started much long before I did. Because he had the same trouble. He wanted to find a nice Catholic wife. But in his line of work, which I really don't want to talk about on the podcast, he basically couldn't find. So online dating was basically his only option if he wanted to get married. So anyway, but for me, he was the first person I talked on Catholic Match. And this is really, really rare. Okay, so I was blessed. I was lucky. And the Lord knew that I couldn't afford anymore. So anyway, so we started talking, and I looked at his picture. I'm like, okay, he's, you know, he's attractive, but it's kind of different for girls and guys, of course, who knew that we would react to things differently. Unheard of. So this is what we did, and this is one of the things that is important. We only contacted using Catholic Match, and they only used the first names. So if you come across a guy who's, you know, you're not sure of, then they don't have your personal information. So for a long time, until we were sure, until I was sure that he wasn't a serial killer, we just used Catholic Match and their messaging and their emailing and all that stuff. And what we did, which is the beauty of online dating, because there is no proximity, physical proximity, that you're going to kind of wrestle with this attraction problems and all that stuff, we kind of started to talk about serious things. So he's 5 years older than me. So I was 29, he was 34. We kind of knew what we wanted from a potential spouse, right? Okay, are you willing to tithe? Do you eat meat on Fridays? Do you want children? Are you open to using an FP? Like, these are really, really big questions for us. And so that's what we talked about at first. Because look, if you're not willing to use NFP, you're going to insist on contraception, I will not marry you. I am not going to live in mortal sin hoping that you will change. And I'm not saying people won't change. But to be honest, don't go into a marriage expecting somebody to change. Okay, I am a very... Unfortunately, I kind of err on the side of pessimism with life. So I do not expect people to change.
I mean, yes, the Lord changed me deeply, but it was painful. Conversion is not easy. It's very painful. And I did not want to change. There was a lot of grace, a lot of prayer, and it could have still gone wrong. So you cannot hope that people will change. And they don't have to be perfect, right? We talked about it. Look, you cannot not marry somebody because they hate 80s music. Okay, stupid, come on. But if they're not serious about their faith, it may take them 60 years to come back. They may never come back. Are you willing to make that sacrifice and live with the same person for all those years, with a person who doesn't share the deepest desire of your heart? That is your faith. Now, I don't know if you listened, but I had Vicky Saul to talk about divorce. And she met her husband online. And she talks about how they were both at such a bad place for marriage when they started, that they eventually got divorced even though they were Catholic, but their hearts were not in the right place. So make sure that your heart is right place. Make sure that you do not think that marriage is going to make you happy. If you're not satisfied with your life and what the Lord has given you in your single state, marriage is not going to fulfill you. And what's worse, you're burdening your spouse with something that they cannot fulfill. So make sure that your heart is at the right place and make sure that the heart of the other person is at the right place. So husband and I, we messaged, emailed, back and forth. I mean, we have this like it's like almost 100 pages book length. It's just so much stuff we talked about because it's so easy to type without like having all those kind of entanglements and, you know, physical problems. And when you talk online, when we write emails, it's not like we're killing time. I think in a regular dating and courting relationship, what do? You go out for a date, you go out for a movie, you hang out with friends. Most of that time is in a way wasted. You don't talk about the most important things. And it's a little more awkward to talk about these serious things when you're face to face. To right away. But when you type, like, I don't care if it doesn't work with this guy that I've never met who lives across the ocean, what do I care? I just want to make sure that he's serious about his faith. So that's what we talk. And once we realized that we agreed on the most important things in life, and once I decided that he wasn't a complete serial killer, and he realized that I wasn't looking to find someone who would get me a visa to live in America, then we decided to Skype. Our first Skype conversation was very interesting. So remember, I'm really poor. So I had this really, really old Toshiba laptop and the operating system Windows completely crashed on. And I couldn't afford to get it fixed, and I couldn't afford to get a new computer, and I couldn't afford to get even like a new installation of this. I don't know. It just didn't work. I was so done with Windows. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go geeky. And I installed Linux on it. Ubuntu I installed on it. So anyway, it happened that it wasn't quite compatible with Skype, and the camera, it didn't work. So for the first 2 weeks, I could see him, but he couldn't see me. That's how we talked. It was hilarious. It was wonderful for me. But that was the second step that we went. But it took a while to get there, right? So you just need to make sure that you agree on the most important things. So after that, it kind of went really nicely in a way. So we did the Skype thing. And one of the things, I was so happy that my husband was on the same wage. We didn't want to drag it out, right? Like, I'm 29. I don't want to date you 2 years, then stay engaged 4 years, and then we get married and or whatever. So we met in March, and I'm telling you, this is really fast, and I understand, but you need to realize that we were much older, and we were we kind of knew what we wanted. But by May, we decided that we should meet in person, because we realized, okay, we are on the same page as far as our faith and morals, what we want from life and all that stuff goes. On Skype, we realized that we find each other relatively attractive. What happened was, okay, what's left is to meet in person. So, remember, I'm still really, really poor. So I can't afford to go to America. And he was in the Air Force. So he had, and he was in training. So he had like 3 days or off or something between one assignment to another. Or maybe he had, I don't remember. He had less than a week off. So he didn't have the time to come over here, because if he missed his flight and he couldn't like report back, it would be a big trouble. You know, it was just something like that. Anyway, so I said, if you're serious about it, if you buy the ticket, I am willing to come, right? I have the time, you have the money, let's see if it works, right? So on his part, this is a big investment, right? I mean, it costs, what, $500 or whatever to fly me from London. And on my part, it's like I'm wasting my time. And also, I had to be careful in how I approach this, because even though I was pretty sure he was a decent guy, one needs to be, as a lady, one needs to be careful. I don't need to tell you this. Okay, so one of the things, like, by this time, by the time we were ready to meet, I realized that I was in love with him. But the thing is, like, nobody knows him. Nobody I know knows him. So what do I do? Because I know, by then, I knew enough that people do stupid things when they're in love. And I did not want to do a stupid thing because I was in love with this guy that I've never met. So I had friends who lived in Houston, which where my husband was stationed near. I said, okay, I will come to Houston, but you will have to meet these friend of mine. And I called my friend of mine and husband and wife, wonderful, wonderful people. And I said, okay, I met this guy online. He seems like a great guy. Can we come and spend the day with you? And can you please tell me if he's marriage material? That's it. And I think this is really important. You know how people say, don't look at how he treats you. Look at how he treats others, especially who are like below him or like who are serving him. You know, see how he treats the waitress. Try to see how he behaves or she behaves when you're not looking. See how he or she treats their parents, right? You're looking into the future. You're going to be spending decades with this person. And the best time you're going to have with this person is your courting, dating, and engagement time. Go into it with open eyes. Make sure, pay attention to what's important. Make sure that they're decent people and they're not, you know, trying to hide something. So anyway, I go there. So I travel, you know, there's delayed flights, of course, and I just like overnight flight. I'm so messed up. And I'm going, like, it's the last flight and I'm about to meet him at the end of this long, you know, one of those long hallways. And I'm thinking, are you stupid? It's like, I've traveled thousands of miles, right, by then. I'm like, are you stupid? What are you doing here? Like, you just came for this guy you've never met. And I'm like, if I have a daughter and she ever does something so stupid, I would be so ridiculously mad. But I'm so tired. Like, I can't even think of getting on a flight just to return back. So anyway, I ended, you know, I finished the walk. And there he was. And he was wearing this, like, light pink polo shirt with a Detroit Lions hat. Which is so funny because he's not a Lions fan, but he said they were doing so badly that he felt bad for them and he bought a hat just to support them. I'm like, okay. I have this like still vivid image of seeing him. And I knew that I would marry him if he asked me, like when we first met. And we spent the day with my friends and it was wonderful. You know, he was wonderful. It was beautiful, and to see him interact with my friends, and my friends had children, and at the end of the day, the my friend, who's, I think he's about 10 years older than me, so it's his wife. He just asked my husband, it's like, okay, what are your intentions? And my husband said, I want to marry her. So I'm like eating this random seafood and I'm like, oh, okay. Which I knew. I mean, obviously we are gearing towards marriage, but their approval was really important for me. Actually, if they said, like, if they said there were red flags or I wait, I was going to go back the following day. I was ready and I was willing to accept their judgment. So, ladies and gentlemen, both of you, find a trusted friend or make sure that your parents, like, hear their concerns. Be open to it. Because honestly, when you're kind of in that kind of fuzzy emotional place, you kind of miss these red flags. So please be open to the wisdom of others. Anyway, then we got married in Turkey. So we met in March and we were married in October. So that is our little online dating story. And I wanted to tell it through our own experience, because I think it's helpful to see how it went for others. As I said, my husband had some different experiences, nothing really bad, but things didn't quite turn out that he thought it would when he met the ladies in person. And, you know, they had a cordial date and then they went to their own ways. And some of them took longer to realize that, well, this is not going to work. So, I mean, and I say my experience of meeting the first person and getting married to this person is very unique and I feel very blessed. So don't expect that. And we will hear from a hubby next time. He will have a lot more wisdom to offer to you. Before we wrap this up, I thought I could again talk about a few different points for people who are considering this. Okay, first of all, don't go all crazy about online dating. The world is so weird. There aren't that many Catholics. There aren't that many Catholic dances. I mean, how would you even meet people unless your church has a good youth program or something? Right? Like, how would you know? And a lot of millennials are really awkward around real people. So, first of all, please don't be awkward around real people. And if you're in college, if you see a girl that you like, ask her for a coffee. Again, don't make a big deal. The same for the ladies. So try to do this without the online business. But if it comes to it, you can't find anybody, you feel you're called to marriage, don't just keep waiting. Be proactive. The Lord wants to give you a spouse, but it's not going to happen if you're just going to sit at home and binge on Netflix movies or Pints with Aquinas podcasts. Sorry, Matt Fred, you're great, but it's really hard to find spouses. Unless you go to one of his meetings, probably, you know, he travels and, you know, has all these meetings. So anyway, so don't be too weirded about online dating. It's common. It's a lot more common. I know a lot of people who got married to people who met online. And it's not even like Catholics. We have a few friends. They met playing World of Warcraft. And we met them playing World of Warcraft as well. But, you know, they've been together for years. So it happens. It's coming. Common, such is life. Don't get weirded out. Give it a try. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And just because you're on the online field doesn't mean that you close your eyes to the other things. Just be wise and just keep your eyes open, right? So second thing, just make sure that you look at what's important. As a Catholic, you should look at the holiness of this person. Don't get bogged down over the details on his or her profile, because it's really awkward to explain yourself on a page. You know, most people don't have just like, you know, one favorite movie, or I don't know, they don't like, not everybody likes to take walks or have hobbies or whatever, you know, especially if you're in your 20s, you're still trying to figure yourself out. So don't get too concerned about those minute details. Again, it's the same with the pictures. You know, sometimes, like, not many people look perfect over their pictures. If you think this purse is mildly attractive, just give it a try. It works out. It doesn't work out. It's fine. And another thing, especially for guys, try to be active even in online communities. It's really hard for Catholic women to gauge this, like, how much we can be forward. It's still hard because we, you know, there's that desire to be pursued, but in an online environment, it's really hard to show that you're interested in back and forth. For men, if you like a profile, just go for it. Drop one line, and then be confident, be yourself. What a great advice. Hey, you can tell people, I listened to Liv a little, and she told me to be myself. And also, don't forget to follow your heart either. Anyway, so, but for especially guys, be confident. You try to take the first step, and, you know, not everything works, and that's fine. And that's okay. Again, one of the things is, like, if people, it's so hard to talk about yourself on an online profile. So make sure that you don't judge people by their own expressions of personality. I mean, if a guy said, oh, I have a wonderful sense of humor, like, are you? Or wait, that wasn't the right grammar. Do you? So just, you know, as usual, be wise, use your best judgment. And this pertains to the ladies, but it's a good idea to not to really kind of look at a profile and get attached to the profile. I know it's weird, but women here are, I don't know, does this happen to men? I should ask husband. Like, don't get obsessed over somebody's profile, even if he sent you a picture. Okay? And don't keep going back at the same person's profile if they're not interested in you. Yes is a yes, no is a no. Just move on. And similarly, if he sent you two messages, doesn't mean he's ready to get married. So just tone it down and just take it one step at a time. And of course, don't let it go forever. Obviously, the end goal must be marriage. So, but just don't fall into those, like, stereotypical girl kind of mistake. Don't fantasize over the profile pages or his pictures, or after 2 days, like, don't start planning the wedding in your head. And you have to pray together from as soon as possible. Pray together and see where the Lord leads you. And please try to make sure that he or she meets with somebody you trust, because they may see something that you haven't. I don't know. These are the tips I can think of right now. And if you found your spouse by meeting them online, let me know. I love to hear other stories. And especially for Catholics, I think they are encouraging to hear these stories. And you can, most of these websites, you can look at their pages, and then you can see these success stories. And it's like, it's happy to see how other people met each other. And I think it's much better than when we got married now, as far as different dating websites go. So go and try different ones and see whatever works for you. And I mean, I look back and I think about how much my husband, a wonderful, holy, prayerful person, has changed my life. I mean, and that is the meaning of marriage, right? It's not just because of you. It's for the children. It's for unity, and so that both of you can get to heaven. I am a much holier person now than when I met him, and it's because of him. And that's beautiful. And that's how it should be. And, you know, that's how the Lord made it. And you need to remember, marriage is hard. It's not easy. And I look at it, I have this wonderful husband. You know, we have a stable income, thank God. You know, we are not rich. We still have to be careful, but we at least know that there will be a paycheck next month. Of course, we have the church and the graces and the sacraments, and but still we have to work at it, especially my husband. Poor man. Poor man. He has to put up with my melancholy downs once in a while. Bless him. Keep him in your prayers. But it's still work. And I think about it. It's like, how do people stay married without grace, without the help of the sacrament, without confession, without the Eucharist? So you need to remember that marriage is already hard, and you need to make sure that you marry the right person for right reasons. And maybe before you go out looking for somebody, you should look into your heart why you want to get married now. And if you think you're at the right place, then you can be proactive in this. But it's beautiful once you get married, and if it works out and there are graces, and he wants to please God first and foremost, and she wants to take you to heaven. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. So I'm getting all mushy and tired. So I should probably go to bed, because there are baseball games and all that stuff that comes with raising a bunch of Catholics. But it's a beautiful life. So give it a try. Go after it. It's worth it. And once you pass these waters of looking for a husband or wife, you'll never want to go back there. Once in a while, when we watch chick flicks, we just sit down, like just bunch of old couples. We say, we're so glad we are done with that. Now all we worry about how much weight we've gained in the last 10 years. But again, as I said, it's a beautiful life. Okay, so let me know what you thought. If you have more questions about online dating or anything like that, try to reach me on social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and I will try to drop this on YouTube, even though it takes forever to upload things to YouTube. I'm still, you know, dabbling with technology. So let me know what you think. And I am going to try to get my husband sit down and talk about his conversion and his experience with online dating and such. So stay tuned for that. And if you consider supporting us so we can raise all these beautiful, wonderful, expensive children in the Catholic faith, we would be very, very appreciative. And as you know, it takes money and time to produce these things. So please go to patreon.com/DariaLittle, and you can support me as little as $2, $5, or $10 a month, and every little bit helps. So, of course, don't forget to leave a review of the podcast. And I'm hoping this was a little lighthearted conversation with myself. Live a little, and sometimes it starts with living a little for yourself and for your future husband or wife. Have a wonderful week. See you in 2 weeks.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.